Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, joined by Rod Mullins. We're going to talk NASCAR auto racing, probably some gas hoarding today on the podcast. Rod, welcome.
Hey, glad to be here.
So let's talk about Darlington last week. I got to catch a good bit of that race. Martin Truex Jr. Dominating on his way to the victory. Joe Gibbs Racing seems to have the thing about Darlington. They win a lot of races there. Take us into Truex's win and some other storylines from Darlington.
Well, you can't say enough. Darlington was very good to Martin Truex. I mean, he dominated, like you said, from just about every aspect of the race. Thought he was going to lose it right there toward the very end of the race, too, with Kyle Larson bearing down on him. He cut the margin, at least seconds-wise, down to almost like 0.3 of a second, you know, something like that. He's catching up very quick. And then I don't know what happened if Larson just didn't have enough in the car left, or Truex had found second wind in that car, but he managed to pull the win off. But it was a great win for Truex, and he becomes the first and the only 3-time winner on the season so far. And so just shows once again that Joe Gibbs Racing, they've got it all together. At least they've got all their how can we say this in a term? They've got all their ducks over in one little pen right now, and they've got everything set with Martin Truex, and you see Christopher Bell, but then you have the other two drivers kind of on the outside looking in, and that's Denny Hamlin, and you've got Kyle Busch, who are kind of wondering, like, what's it going to take for us to win a race before it's over with? And Kyle Busch had his problems on Sunday afternoon with a flat tire. He led some laps there, but he really mouthed off at NASCAR about some things that I just felt like it was kind of like you've said before. It's Kyle Busch being Kyle Busch. No other way around.
Yeah, he, you know, finished third. He fought his way back in. Mm-hmm. So what's the response been around NASCAR? I mean, it is Kyle Busch, so maybe the response around NASCAR is that's just Kyle Busch. But once again, he opens his mouth and complains about something he probably shouldn't be complaining about. What's any response at all from the NASCAR world?
Not really. I don't think there's anything. They know it's just Kyle blowing off smoke like he does with a lot of things and stuff. And, you know, again, I've used this kind of as a reference also. If you ever go online and you listen to The Week After with Radioactive or one of the services that you can get with, it's got the rundown of the race. It's the audio version of it from inside the car. You will hear things from Kyle Busch that, you know, myself, if I was working as a pit crew, I would be hard pressed to be able to find loyalty to the man, because the man is wicked. Sometimes he is very brutal when he talks to these guys that's in the pits, and these guys are working their tails off for him while he's out there on the track. But he references back, he says, well, you know, I'm driving the hell out of this car, and you ought to give me something a little bit better. And so it's a kind of a two-way street with this. But Kyle Busch just, there are times that Kyle Busch just doesn't know when to say when, and this is one of those times. But I think a lot of people have just kind of just said, it's Kyle, let him go, let him deal with it. So that's where the issue is, I think, right now.
Hey, I saw this when I was taking notes for today's podcast. NASCAR allowed for the first time since the COVID-19 pandemic, mm-hmm. Guests and some fans to mill around the garage area for the first time in 14 months, I guess.
Yep.
That's an aspect of NASCAR that is so different than any other sport. You get to, I mean, as a reporter, I've been able to do that. You've been able to do it numerous times. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those neat aspects of the sport, and it's back. Boy, things are starting to feel like they're getting back to some normalcy.
Yeah, they are. And that's a good thing about it. In South Carolina, the mandate, they kind of lifted a little bit of this, and they didn't have a big crowd at Darlington per se, but it was a bigger crowd than what I expected it to be. There were a lot more people there in the stands. And, you know, Kevin Harvick made the remark, I think, last year, and I think there was some reference to it. It makes a big difference, you know, from last year, this year and last year, when you look at the racetrack last year, when Kevin Harvick won coming back out of the pandemic and after everything had stopped there for 10 weeks, Kevin Harvick, you know, made a big deal and said, you know, it's different without the fans, and it is much different. And this time around, you know, you could tell the fans were enjoying this race a lot. There was a lot of good racing going on with this particular race at Darlington. And Yeah, you had some people that had some run-ins. Kurt Busch had a unfortunate, I think, event happened to him early on, but he had nowhere else to go. I think there's some people trying to say that, you know, he kind of got nudged a little bit, and yes, he did, but he kind of put it as one of those racing things. So it's a Darlington sort of thing, but I'm telling you, they found that upper groove up there, and when Kyle Larson started finding that upper groove and started coming away with a little bit more speed, I think the crowd got into it. They wanted to see Kyle Larson get back at the front, but it wasn't meant to be on that particular Sunday.
Yeah, that Kurt Busch accident, he and Bubba Wallace were fighting for the lucky dog spot, and they didn't give Bubba the lucky dog spot, even though Kurt said in the interview right afterwards that it wasn't anybody's fault. It certainly wasn't Bubba's fault. So that was
interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I looked at their numbers. They had about 15,000 or so on Sunday. Now, Darlington said, I guess over the weekend when they were, talking with press, that they're anticipating a full house on September 5th when the NASCAR comes back in the fall. So that's something to look forward to as well.
Yeah, it's going to be full house. I think probably by the time we start getting into July, if we do not have this huge surge or anything that could possibly freak us out and come out of left field out of this, we're probably going to have some full crowds back in some of these racing establishments. I know Bristol is going to be, I'd love to see Bristol sell out for 150, 160,000 when they come there in September. It would be great because the sound will just be unreal hearing the fans. You'll be able to hear the fans just about as loud as you'll be able to hear the cars. But I mean, going to some of the other venues, it's going to be a big difference. And, you know, the Indy 500, I think they're going to even have a reduced crowd for this type of race. They're going to have the road course race. It's going to be the week before, I think, and then the Indianapolis 500, but they're still going to have reduced crowds. But just think of what could be said if they opened it up full blast and said, hey, look, we're going to let everybody in and see what it does. It would be a spectacular event.
I know just in another sport, baseball, my wife and I, Crystal and I are Nats mini season ticket holders. And we got word that I think it's June 14th, Nats Park in DC is going to be open to full capacity. So we're not that far off. And it's exciting to be talking about these things. And I'm sure those of us who are lucky enough to be able to attend races and baseball games, everything else with fans, it's going to be an emotional moment that first time. We've been missing these things for so long. TV's great. It's great to be able to watch the races and watch the games, everything else. Man, when we're finally able to get back out there, that's going to be fun.
Yep, it is. I just, you know, the big difference for me too is being down there. And of course, I've said this before, being down in the pits is one great thing I love about it, because when you're down there in the pits, you know, my dad has even said this to me, why in the world would you love the smell of rubber? And I mean, I do. I like the smell of burnt rubber. I mean, there's, you know, you get the oil, you get the gas fumes and different things like that. But there's just something about it. There's just something that you can't find anywhere else. And I'm missing people too. Leonard Wood, you know, I don't know if you saw the race a little bit. You said Crystal had watched the race a little bit on Sunday and so forth. They had a little feature on Leonard Wood from Stewart, Virginia, about building that block engine. And, you know, I started thinking of Lynn. I started thinking then, I ran into Lynn 2 years in a row at Bristol. Didn't get to see him last year because, you know, the pits were closed off. But every time I run into the pits and I see Lynn looks at me and he says, hey, how you doing? We strike up a little bit of a conversation. And really, he doesn't know me from Adam, but he still is nice enough to, you know, and in his 90s, nice enough to convey to you how glad he is to see someone that respects, you know, the Wood Brothers and that that history and prestige with it. And, you know, and I miss that. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'd really love to get up to Stewart maybe this summer and go to the Wood Brothers Museum that they've got up there. So it would be such a fascinating thing to be able to do. And hopefully with some of these things kind of breaking loose a little bit more, we'll have a chance to be able to do that.
Let's talk about Dover coming up this weekend, a triple header weekend, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and then the Cup Series race at the Monster Mile. I guess the most recent race, Kevin Harvick won last year. He won so many races last year, won 9 races last year, but he won here last year. What can we look forward to this weekend at Dover?
Well, you know, Kevin Harvick's looking still for his first win of the season, and he would like nothing more. You know, there for a little while in that race at Darlington, I thought, well, Kevin Harvick may have dialed in. He may finally have what he's looking for, but, you know, he did not finish. He didn't finish a very, well, I'll say top 5, top 10. It wasn't really one of those great victories there toward the end of it, if you want to call it that. But, you know, he's looking for that first win. He'd like to get that at Dover Downs. But I really think that one guy that's looking for a win desperately right now, and even though he's won on the season so far, is Kyle Larson. And Kyle Larson has said, you know, we've had a lot of bad luck here in the last couple of weeks that's kind of prevented us from being where we need to be at, and he feels like it's the winner's circle. I think you can see Kyle Larson there too, but you know, again, I'm going back to the same thing. Stuart Haas is in turmoil right now. I don't know if you saw the early departure of Eric Almirola from that race. He was gone before it was over with. Cole Custer, he had a wreck. He slammed the inside wall there, so that took him out. And then you only had you had Harvick in there trying to at least race for a little bit of pride out of the whole thing. But, you know, it still didn't pay off for them. And people are really scratching their heads like, what in the world's wrong with Stuart Haas right now? So, you know, it would be a big boost in the arm of Stuart Haas, and especially coming down here. We're going to be within the window here in after this weekend, 2 weeks before the Coca-Cola 600. And so about two and a half weeks. And so that's going to be a big one that somebody wants to have a shot in the arm before they go to Charlotte, and they're going to open it up too for the crowds at Charlotte. They're really hoping for a good turnout for that one. And I'm hoping to get a chance to go and cover 600 for the first time.
There's probably some people listening as we wrap up our podcast. There's probably some people listening thinking, how do they have enough gas to run these races? We've got to talk about the gas situation. No, the, I think Delaware's outside of the realm of the Colonial pipeline. So that's, whatever worth that is. But we're in Virginia. We're right here in the heart of it. And people are going as crazy this year about gas as they did about 14 months ago over toilet paper. Only difference being you can stock piles of toilet paper in your house easily. You can't very easily store gas. How's it been down your way?
In some places, it's been kind of crazy. I know toward the Tri-Cities, a lot of the gas stations have sold out of gas. Some of them are going to be, they're going to probably be waiting maybe a few days, maybe about a week before they get some back. I know that some people have put on the internet and on Facebook, they may be 2 or 3 weeks of getting gas. I don't believe it's going to be that long, but you've got some other people that's kind of being very cautious about it. The local food cities around here, they sponsor the race down at Bristol. They're selling gas. They're limiting people to gas purchases, so many gallons. And I think that that's a good thing probably in this kind of situation. But it kind of reminds me of something my son put on Facebook this afternoon. And that was, there is no gas shortage. There is only a shortage when idiots go out and they start purchasing all this gas and start hoarding all this stuff. That's when the real shortage is going to begin. I didn't think that there was a shortage to begin with. And I started hearing all this stuff yesterday and I was like, you got to be kidding. People are going and filling up. I can understand when Hurricane Katrina happened. You know, that was something that really stood out with me because that could have been shut down indefinitely for a long period of time. But this is something that they're going to be able to get up and go. And I don't know. It's just the greed, I guess, if you want to say in one way, the greed of some people and the hoarding and all this other stuff. It's just, it strikes me as just, I can't believe it. I just can't believe that we're actually living in times like these. That's what surprises me.
Here's a sign of the times. I saw this tweet earlier today, actually from the official Twitter account of the U.S. Product Safety Commission. Mm-hmm. It's not safe to store gasoline in plastic bags. They felt compelled to tell us. That's a sign of how just dumb things are right now. That they have to remind you not to store gasoline in plastic bags. I drove yesterday. I take the country route when I go to do my baseball games. I say the country route. I don't like driving Interstate 81 any more than I have to, which is, I can't imagine the emergency it would take for me to have to drive on Interstate 81 with all the trucks that are there. So I take US 340 and then US 11 down to Lexington when I broadcast baseball games, which takes me by a lot of gas stations, which I didn't really think about until yesterday when I noticed the first gas station I drove by, there was a lot of cars out, basically blocking traffic on a four-lane road. Then I got past the next couple gas stations, and then all the rest of the way down, nothing like that. It was one gas station, and then everybody else. Now, somebody said, well, maybe it was because those gas stations were already out of gas. Turns out, I don't think they were. Today, there are gas stations in my area out of gas. But man, oh man, you know what? What I've read, and when I say what I've read, I'm not talking about what some guy who lives down the street from me said on Facebook. I'm talking about from official sources.
Right.
That the pipeline is expected to be back on Friday, back online on Friday. So, you know, all this, these people are going to feel really dumb with all these containers of gas in their garage.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do with it? Except put it back in their car. And, you know, so it's just one of those things. Relax. It's going to be okay. Just like there's probably people who bought so much toilet paper 14 months ago that they're still going through that toilet paper they hoarded last year. So I don't understand what it is about life in 2021 America that makes us this crazy, but something is amiss with our country right now.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, this should open up the eyes of people, not the gas emergency of the fact of not being able to get gas. But I think I said this to my wife this morning. I was listening to WINA on our Amazon Alexa, and I was listening to that, and they were talking about the Tiger Markets up there around Charlottesville. They were pretty much shut down, had no gas. Everybody had come in and made the raid. But, you know, what concerns me is infrastructure more than anything else. And I'm just really concerned about this sort of thing. And when you start getting to the internet and you start finding out that the Colonial Petroleum people and stuff had an outdated version of Microsoft Exchange, I believe is what happened, is how they got in through the back door and was able to go and lock this whole thing down and shut this down. That's what scares you. And if you're one of these people that just think that it can't happen to you, it can, because in this day and age, people need to think like Sun Tzu wrote in The Art of War, you know, think like your enemy. You know, what would your enemy do in this kind of situation? Well, folks, your enemy is doing the same exact thing. They're going out here, they're hoarding gas, they're doing all these different things. They're going to shut you down the same way that you would try to do it to make some money off people, if that's what you wanted to do. It's just crazy. I don't understand it, but it does open up so many things about the need for an improved infrastructure, electricity, you know, the way that we transport gasoline, oil, petroleum, whatever it is. It's opened my eyes up to it. We're in bad shape. We're not in the best of shape right now when it comes to infrastructure in the United States.
Cybersecurity is where it's at, kids. If you're listening and you want to get into a good field that is going to be paying for the next 40 or 50 years, that's the area to get into. That and healthcare are the two areas that you're going to be making money in the next 40 or 50 years. So that's the advice that we'll leave you with here on this podcast.
Yeah, hey, let's make a pitch here. Let's make a pitch here and just tell them, if you want one of the best cybersecurity programs in the United States and they want a national championship, it's the University of Virginia. Now, UVA is not known for cybersecurity. You have to go down south on 81 down to a place called Blacksburg, the Virginia Tech, if you're going to really get into cybersecurity. But when you go and you upend the big time boys on I-81 down there at Virginia Tech, and you take the national championship, you must be pretty darn good. But yeah, you're right. That's where the future is, that in the medical field, no doubt about it.
Yeah, we write a lot about the cybersecurity efforts at UVA and Virginia Tech. Those two schools tout that, and those are the places to be. We're not talking about NASCAR. We don't make a lot of money. Those cybersecurity people are going to earn their money, and in these cases like the Colonial Pipeline bring that up to our attention. Well, Ron, as always, thank you for our talk on NASCAR, geopolitics, infrastructure, and more.
Oh, gosh, I didn't know we were going to get into all this. You said we were going to save the best for last, but I will tell you, the video that you're seeing on Facebook now and some of these other places showing the woman at the gas station pumping with plastic bags, you know, filling it up, put it in her trunk, that happened 2 years ago. The Daily Mail out of the UK had that video up something like 2 years ago. So it's old. Don't believe it. You know, you can find out for yourself. And gas doesn't go in plastic bags. In fact, it starts eating it up. It starts going back to its original, you know, makeup is what it was, and it's made out of petroleum. So think about that, folks. It's okay.
We'll be okay. And the last thing I want is a bunch of gasoline canisters sitting around my house. I want to be able to wake up in the morning with my house not on fire. So right. All in that respect, my neighbors too, as far as that goes. Well, Rod, as always, thank you for your time today.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Get the latest on the Hoos and up-to-the-minute local news, politics, and sports online at AugustaFreePress.com.